Would you pick up a quarter? Is it the nickel version or the dime? Where would it change? How about a dollar bill? You see a dollar bill? Would you stop and pick it up? A $20 bill? Ooh, all of a sudden someone perked up in their chairs, right? How about a $100 bill laying on the ground? Would you stop and pick it up? So where do you place the value of a person? In Trevor's class on Wednesday night, I really appreciated his thoughts, but the one thing that kept on my mind over the week, which I told him, I said, man, you preached like half my sermon for Sunday morning. To even down to the text that we'll be looking at. But anyway, and I didn't get that from watching a Jeff Ball sermon, or a Trey Ball sermon, or a Aaron Davis sermon, or you know, in a book. So as we look at this, Trevor reminded us in that class that sometimes we just like to refer to people. It makes us feel better. It makes us feel disconnected. And so we think that people mean soul. People have a soul. Every person has a soul. And I think we forget that. So what's the price? Is a few $100 for chairs for a congregation in Uganda too much to give a family a place to sit? I mean, if you would have walked in today and there not be any chairs set up, what would you have done? And yet, this is reality for some congregations. So what's the price? Right? Is it a couple $1,000 to do some improvements and upgrades to a youth law so that a young soul or even several can be saved? Is $7,000 a year to help run the school too much to run a school too much to ask to win families to Christ? So what's your price? Is $1 million+ too much for a building to win the locals to Christ? Or as we learned yesterday at the annual meeting for the children's home, so a $2 million project, is that too much to spend on trying to bring people to the Lord? I think in the grand scheme of things, we get the idea. But then I hear, and even some good and great and faithful Christians say, but we need to be good stewards of our money. Wait, we need to be good stewards of what? Of his money? Right? Of his money? Spend it more efficiently. Spend it more wisely. So what they're saying is, they do put a limit on the soul. That's the kind way of saying it. So we have to put a limit on the soul. There's several parables that Jesus shared in Scripture about finances and different things of those that grew with those talents and those monies and different things. But you notice that Christ rebuked the one that did nothing with the talents or with the money. Do you notice that Christ never asked the other ones how they drew their talents? Never asked them, so what did you do? All he did was rebuke the one that did nothing. And so for us to say, well, I don't think this is wise, or is it more beneficial to do nothing, or beneficial to move forward and make mistakes? Because at least you're trying to move forward. You're only chasing the ones that did nothing. Church, I suggest that we do something. Amen? Can we do something? Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. The story that Trevor shared with us the other night, talking about Zacchaeus. And he entered Jericho and was passing through. There was a certain man by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And Zacchaeus was trying to see Jesus, or to see who Jesus was, and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. Before he was about to pass through that way, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. And when they saw it, here's that proverbial they, right? Well, they said he couldn't do it. Well, they said, here we go. And when they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. What are they insinuating there? That they are not. Because he's a sinner, but we are not. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Notice it never says that he did defraud. He just said, if I did. And Jesus said to him, Today's salvation has come to this house, because he too was the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And we looked at that verse already during this series. And so we got three things we want to look at this morning to go along with this and with our little video clip at the beginning. But it's entitled Change the Story. Change the Story. And so when we look at that and we go from this disconnected world, what can we as the church do to change the story? What can we do? Well, we're going to give us some suggestions here this morning. Wouldn't it be great to help change the entire spiritual outcome of a city? Right? I mean, amen. So think of the town and city in which you live. Harlan, Leo, Graydale, Fort Wayne, New Haven, Hicksville, Antwerp, wherever that may be. Okay? Wouldn't it be great to change the entire spiritual outcome of that city? So what would be done if the entire town of Harlan converted their thinking to Jesus Christ in the Bible? What would you think? What would you do? Then all of a sudden now, it's not the Maranatha Chapel, it's the Harlan Church of Christ. But wait a minute, you've infringed on our name. Is that what we think? It's no longer Holy Trinity, it's the Harlan Church of Christ. Stop and consider, if everyone in the town became Christians, if everyone in the town, how would that affect us? Would we be happy? Would we? Because now it's no longer Cuba Mennonite. It's Harlan Church of Christ. And our guys here aren't those elders. And I'm not the preacher there. What are we going to do? What would we do? We say, yeah, oh, that would be great. Would it? Because we have brothers and sister congregations in our area that teach the truth, that share the truth, that we have nothing to do with. And so if it's in the area, so then what do we think of in our own town? Would we change? Would it be a problem? Would it not be a problem? I just want you to seriously consider the question. Or would we become just like everyone else and even make the Church of Christ a denomination? Well, this happened in Scripture over and over again as well. We can see it when Paul is talking, were you baptized into Paul? Were you baptized into Apollos? Was Peter crucified for you? But we can change the story. But what we need to understand is we need to change the story for who? For God's sake. For the sake of Jesus Christ, Jonah chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, says, who knows, God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish. When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked way, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared that he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Notice whose mind changed there. It was God's mind that changed. He wouldn't do it. He said he was going to wipe them out. And then he said he wouldn't do it. There was 120,000 people in that city. And how many people that weren't Gentiles, that weren't living in the town of Nineveh, were happy about that? Not even the guy that went and brought the message to him was happy about it. Jonah himself was not happy when they repented. So, church, would we be happy if people changed the story? Wouldn't it be great if we could try to find out? Yeah, I think so. Nineveh changed their story, and God could change our ones too. The people of Nineveh repented and turned toward God. But you know what happened 100 years later? In Jonah chapter, or Jonah 2, which we call the book of Nahum. Remember when we preached on that, when we were preaching through the Bible, we read that just 100 short years later, that the city fell back into its wicked and pagan ways. So I'll say this morning. We're not looking for just a change in the story for a short time. We are looking at a change in the story for eternity. So it's not just about change the story, it's about change their story. It's about change their story. Wouldn't it be great to help change the entire spiritual outcome of the world? Right? Now we're talking big. We're just talking about small town Harlem a little while ago. What about the world? I say this because being good, being kind, being generous, being thoughtful, being loving. Do we all know people like this? Do we even know people like that don't go to church, that don't even claim God? Yes, we do. But I'll let you know, being all those things will not save a person. It will not get them to heaven. Only Jesus Christ will. So if we're going to change their story, then we need them to understand that obedience to Jesus Christ is what will change them. So how will people know about Jesus? Stop and consider, how did you find out about Jesus? Maybe you were raised in the church and you in Sunday school. That's all I've ever known. Well, that is good and great, but that's not everybody's story. That's not everybody's story. Some may be learning at the age of 10. Some might be learning at the age of 25. But you know what? No matter if you've grown up in the church and we've hammered on this the last week or so, or you have been in the outside and now you're looking in, wanting to know what it's about, it's a reminder to us, no matter where you are, what you've done, what you think you are, what you think you can, that only obedience to Jesus Christ will change your story. So how will people know about Jesus? They must be told. Change their story. You want to change the story of the world? Here he talked about the flood today. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says this, the second portion of this verse says, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now we can say what we want. I don't have proof on this. I don't know. But I think that perhaps during that 100-year construction, when Noah got the map layout, the blueprints, when he was 500 years old until it started raining when he was 600 years old, that I think perhaps there were more people that worked on that ark than just Noah and his family. He could have hired out laborers. Could have had people go cut down trees. Could have had, like, I don't know. I'm just, but what I'm saying is, so just because you're involved in something, that doesn't mean you're going to be saved. Just because you go about the task and you look involved and you look, that doesn't say to you, as Coop said this morning, you got to get in that ark. The ark of the Old Testament floated above the ungodly world, is what Peter said. That means if you weren't in the ark, you were ungodly. Even if you were a good person that worked on the ark. Unless you were obedient to what God said, you were ungodly. So do you think that Noah's story changed after the flood? I think so. Possibly. Does your story change after you helped bring somebody to the Lord? Well, Noah just brought his family. Church. That's a pretty big effort. That's a pretty big effort. You just bring your family. Well, and your daughter-in-laws, right? Gotta have those. Gotta bring those. So the seventh, Noah, his wife, three sons, three daughter-in-laws, the eighth that was saved. That means the rest of the world was ungodly. Some studies say that there were as many people in the world that day as there are right now. Because of the age and longevity of living and reproduction and the family sizes and different things. So do you think Noah's story changed after the flood? I think to some degree. Do you think he still preached the message of righteousness? He was a preacher of righteousness. I think he still preached it. Did Noah fail and falter along the way afterwards? Sure. So Noah's story changed. Do you think the world's story changed after the flood? Do you think the world's story changed after the flood? I think it did. You know, Jesus Christ has asked us to be fishers of men. And I feel that too many times that we as Christians have just become happy and content to be keepers of the aquarium. It's easy to take care and feed right here. But we're to be fishers of men. We're to go out and not just change the story, we're to go out and change their story. Who's there? The world. Change their story. And then thirdly, it'll change your story. Will change your story. At some point in our lives, we must ask the question that the Philippian jailer asked. We have to ask it somewhere along the line. And what was that question? Ask 16 verse 30. Maybe you ask it someday when you're in church. Maybe you ask it someday when you're working in the tractor out in the field. Maybe someday you're out in the garden. Maybe you're mowing the yard. Maybe you're on the road putting down shingles. Maybe you're in the assembly line at work, but you got to ask yourself, you know what? I wonder what I need to do to be saved. Or do we just go through the world, go through our time, go through our life saying, I'm saved? Because now I've got to ask you, who made you God? So what must I do to be saved? It's asked all through the book of Acts. What shall I do to be saved? What shall we do to be saved? People say that if you want to change things, you have to ask the big questions. Right? I would agree. But I think if you really want to change things, you got to answer the big questions. You got to answer the big questions. And I don't think there's any question bigger than anyone here could ask than, what must I do to be saved? Because we do understand, right, that if you're not saved, you're lost. You say that with me? If you're not saved, you're lost. Right? There's no third party here. It's either you're saved or you're lost. Big question. And not that you do what you think you should do, what does the Bible say? They ask big questions, but you know what? The Bible gives us big answers. Gives us big answers. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Amen? That is Scripture. Right? But as Ed Bachman said, when he preached from this text, and I've heard him, he says, don't stop there. You know why we can't stop there? Because the conversation didn't stop there. It says, you shall be saved, you and your household. And is a conjunction that joins the upcoming thought with the previous one. Right? And you will be saved if you believe. And they spoke the word of the Lord to them. So if you believe in Jesus, you're going to want somebody to tell you more about Jesus. So when he speaks the word of the Lord to them together, to all that were in the house, and then he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and his whole household. They asked the big question, they gave him the big answer. Now, did he like it? I don't know if he liked it or not, but I know he did it. I know he did it. We may not understand why. Why do I have to do that? Because Jesus said so. The Lord has told us to. I'll let you know right now. If you don't let Jesus change your story, it's going to stay the same. If you don't believe in Jesus, when you go down into the water, you're going down the dry center and you're coming out of that one. There's no salvation there if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't believe what he says. If you don't let Jesus change your story, it's going to stay the same. You'll remain lost. And when a tragedy is that come to judgment day or the end of earth or end of time or whatever, whenever takes place, or even your time here on this earth is done, then it'll be sealed, it'll be set. There'll be no changing. If you're lost, when that time comes, you'll remain lost. You'll remain separated from God. You will continue down the lost path that you are currently on. But we encourage you today, change the story. Change their story. Change your story. Come to Jesus. Let him change your story. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Do not let anything or anyone stop you from obeying Jesus. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, it's time to change the story and get connected with him. Don't live in a world of disconnect any longer. You don't have to live in the pain and the triumph of this world. We have one that has overcome the world. It is our faith in Jesus Christ who has overcome the world. Will you come to him now before it's eternally too late? There's a plan of salvation that's given in Scripture that encourages us and shows us what we need to do, that we need to believe that Jesus is that way. John 8:24 says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We must repent. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must confess Jesus Christ. Matthew 10:32, therefore everyone who confesses me before man, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. We must be immersed, baptized into Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. See, he must believe and be baptized to be saved. But he who has disbelieved will be condemned. Because if you don't believe it, you won't do it. Be faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. For those of you that aren't aware, every passage of Scripture in there are quotes from Jesus himself on what we need to do. Well, the Apostle Paul's good, but I don't look to him for salvation. Okay, then let's look to Jesus. Everything that was on that screen, I think, were quotes that Jesus said we need to do. If Jesus has asked us to do them, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Do we love him? Then we need to prove it. Prove how we love him. If you're here today and outside of Jesus Christ, I hope that this will be working on you, that you'll be thinking about it. I hope that, as we prepare for this revival, this upcoming week, starting next Sunday, that we get prepared, that we want to change the story, not the story of the good news, not the story of Jesus Christ. We want to change the story of our life. We want to change the story of the world. We want to change their story. And it starts with us changing our story to line up with what God's message is, the message of Jesus Christ. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation this morning?